The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jean Latshaw from the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Ladies Magazines. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from various ladies' magazines. We begin with this one from Good Housekeeping. You know, March does tend to be the rainy weather, March and April. The Good Housekeeping Textiles Lab tested raincoats, rain jackets, and they offer a couple of options. I will give you three. Their best overall was the Outdoor Research Aspire 3L jacket. Says can handle nearly any adventure from a rainy day commute to a tropical hike. Its technical features like two-way zippers that extend on both sides from armpit to hem and a breathable water-resistant membrane keep you protected without making you feel overheated. Plus, the lightweight style is easy to have packed away until inclement weather strikes. Now, this is a pricey option, $249. Next, best value would be the Columbia Switchback IV, which is Roman numerals for four, is the brand's latest iteration of its top-selling affordable rain jacket. Complete with a stashable hood and adjustable features, this jacket is an ideal pick if you're looking for a simple style that won't skimp on performance or break the bank. While it's not fully lined, the nylon material is water-resistant to fend off light showers, and the jacket folds into its own zippered pocket. $50, the Columbia Switchback 4. Next, best for heavy rain, Helly Hansen's Moss Jacket is in a classic fisherman style. It combines a thick polyurethane material sealed with sealed seams and a double closure in front to provide the ultimate protection from heavy rain. Snaps at the wrist block rain from trickling up the sleeves, and the hood has a standing collar for more coverage. Given how waterproof it is, at less than $100, it's an incredible value, and it's $85. And that, again, was the Helly, H-E-L-L-Y, Hansen, H-A-N-S-E-N, Moss Jacket. And it comes in a very bright school bus kind of yellow, which is great for being seen if you're out in the rain when drivers have a tough time seeing. Next, from Women's Day, as many as 20,000 dogs served on both sides during World War I, some carrying ammunition and rations through the trenches and others offering comfort to soldiers. Then on this day, March 13th in 1942, the U.S. Army established the War Dog Program, actively recruiting and training canines to aid the military with which dogs still serve. Celebrate Canine Corps heroes, past and present, on March 13th, National Canine Veterans Day. From First for Women, outsmart emotional vampires. There are very real vampires in our lives who drain our joy and energy. Here are psychologists' simple keys to taking back control, setting clear boundaries, and improving all your relationships. We know them when we meet them, the complainer, the narcissist, the drama magnet, and the list of difficult people goes on. They sap our energy, and in the most extreme cases, deal a blow to our self-esteem. The first step to diffusing these emotional vampires is as vital as it is deceptively simple. Label what you're feeling, encourages Amy Cooper, Hakim, Ph.D., industrial organizational psychology practitioner, and co-author of the book, Working with Difficult People. I'll spell the last name in case you want the book. Cooper Hakim, C-O-O-P-E-R-H-A-K-I-M. It's important to be honest with yourself by saying, this person doesn't make me feel good about myself, says Hakim. Such an explicit acknowledgement helps curb any misplaced self-blame you may feel so you can shift from the shell shock of being mistreated into proactive problem-solving mode. Another advantage to spotting joy thieves is that it helps prepare you for the next time they come around. You'll be able to say to yourself, "This behavior seems familiar. I recognize this type of person," says Hakeem. With your antenna raised, you'll create healthy boundaries more easily. Hear 5 types of joy vampires and simple strategies that will help them from or stop them from taking advantage of your big heart. First, diffuse a gossip with a redirect. What sets humans apart from the rest of the animal kingdom? It's our gift of gab. We're made to communicate, and gossip has long been a kind of social glue. Benign gossip, that is. When it takes on a darker tone, targeting others, however, it can become malignant. A key factor motivating gossips is their need to feel important, reveals clinical psychologist Alexandra H. Solomon, Ph.D., adjunct professor at Northwestern University, and host of the podcast Reimagining Love. Another potential explanation behind their need to bond with you over spilling the proverbial tea is that people lower on the social hierarchy share information through gossip to gain social status. That's key because knowing what motivates them will help you diffuse them. To do just that, redirect the conversation so it focuses on them, simply by asking, "What's going on with you?" says Solomon. In putting the spotlight on their lives, you're making them feel seen, so they're less likely to seek stature by winding the gears of the gossip mill. Next, curb a complainer with the power of three. Ugh, you know the type who can complain about everything from their workload to the weather, even when it's sunny. Emotions are contagious. So when negative Nellies natter on about how every glass is half empty, we start to see the world the same way, dialing up our stress levels. But just shifting how we address their penchant for negativity can brighten our perspective in no time. This person is showing you how they likely grew up. The squeaky wheel gets the grease, observes Solomon. Rather than argue with them by saying, "Yeah, but X and Y are going great," which they'll only dismiss, consider responding by saying something like, "I would love for you to tell me 3 things that are going amazingly for you right now." This simple request forces them to do some reflection and conjure positivity on their own. And when they have to articulate it themselves, they're much more likely to internalize it, paving the way for genuine optimism. Next, protect yourself from a narcissist with clear boundaries. There are 2 types of narcissist. The overt, grandiose braggart you can spot a mile away, and the covert kind whose weapons of choice include more subtle sarcasm and thinly veiled rudeness. What do they share? They both want to ruffle your feathers, says Hakeem. Narcissists don't like dealing with people they aren't getting a rise out of, so step back and stay calm. After you regain your bearings, the next step may surprise you. Try to find common ground. Pinpointing something you genuinely share instantly disarms them, she says. You might say, "I actually agree with you on X." Or it can be something almost trivial like, "I didn't realize you were a Nets fan." Creating a link with them, however tenuous, makes it easier to clarify your boundaries, such as, "I'm not going to engage with you if you continue to talk to me this way." After all, the foundation of every healthy boundary is self-respect. Next, quiet a critic with strategic honesty. Arguably the most exhausting joy vampire is the chronic fault finder. Just know they are often projecting their own securities onto you, says Solomon. Because they don't feel empowered to advocate for themselves, their criticism is the only way for them to feel in control. This behavior is all about them. That's great to know on an intellectual level, but emotionally, their slings and arrows still hurt. Though you may feel justified in wanting to lash out at them, this is the least effective strategy, cautions Solomon. You don't want to fight fire with fire. It'll only escalate things, she says, adding that the better tactic is good old-fashioned emotional honesty. You might say, it hurts my feelings when you say X, or it makes me pull away when you do Y. Critical people, by nature, aren't used to looking within themselves, so they may genuinely be surprised at how their comments affect you. One thing is for sure, if they're worthy of being in your life, they'll take what you're saying to heart and change their behavior. And last, stand up to a bully with a calm reset. Bullies are often drawn to compassionate people, so don't beat yourself up if someone is figuratively beating you up. Ask yourself what keeps you engaged in this dynamic, urges Solomon. Perhaps you got used to relationships with domineering people when you were younger, and no one was there to advocate for you. Thankfully, when it comes to our emotional health, past is not necessarily prologue, because we can write a new empowering script and reclaim the respect we deserve. I'm so sorry, I had to take a breather there. I would really like you to ask me rather than tell me what to do, or I need you to use a gentler voice when you speak to me. Standing up for ourselves takes practice, but once we start, the momentum we trigger lays the groundwork for greater confidence and resilience. Next, from Magnolia. Nature isn't linear, and I'm reminded of this every year as my anticipation for full-fledged spring grows. This is written by their editor of Magnolia, Joanna Gaines. Woven throughout the first few months of every year are sporadic rain showers, the occasional warm front, a stray bud that blooms before the others. Eventually, yes, there'll be a day when spring is in full glorious display, but it never happens overnight or in one fell swoop, and rarely equally. Yet I have expected the same of myself, to flourish on every side, in every way, all at once. I used to think that's what balance was, not just holding all my commitments and responsibilities simultaneously and equally, but holding them all perfectly. In the spring, I'd chomp at the bit to pursue all the dreams and goals that had bubbled up in winter's quiet. But eventually I'd run out of steam, feeling stretched thin. When a new passion or need popped up, I found I had no space left in my arms. This season, I'm redefining what balance means to me. I'm not looking for the gratification that comes with my ability to hold everything in my life and hope that nothing drops. Instead, I'm seeking harmony among all that I'm carrying. I'm giving myself permission to actually let some things drop, if it means I get to hold other things even closer. That might look like not saying yes to everything, but saying yes to only a few very good things. From Woman's Day, everyone has a story. And on National Write Your Story Day, March 14th, we encourage you to put pen to paper and tell yours as did journalism icon and author Connie Chung, who shares a few of her favorite memoirs with us here. And this is from her. My husband Mari Povich always said, "You have a story to tell. You are Jackie Robinson." I never believed him. Then I came across a letter from my father in which he assigned me a mission to chisel the family name, Chung, in history as a son would, a coveted son my Chinese parents never had. Fast forward to 2019, when a young journalist shocked me. She said untold numbers of Asian parents had named their baby daughters Connie after me, a living legacy. That was it. Mari was right. I had to write my memoir. The glowing reviews, critical acclaim, and bests I have received have altered my ego. Now my husband cannot live with me anymore. Ha ha. And Connie Chung's memoir is called Connie, a Memoir. And she offers three picks that she recommends. One called Personal History by Katherine Graham. How could I write about the ups and downs of my career in television news? My husband recommended that I read his favorite memoir, Personal History, the Pulitzer Prize winner about the lone woman publisher of the Washington Post. Graham endured sexism and tragedy, yet was never crying in her soup. I admired that and was rooting for her until the last page of this engrossing book. It's long, but worth the read. Next, Salinger's Soul by Stephen B. Shepherd, S-H-E-P-A-R-D. Oh, I don't know if I spelled Catherine Graham, G-R-A-H-A-M. This one, Salinger's Soul. At the time I wrote my memoir, my brother-in-law, Steve Shepherd, wrote his book about J.D. Salinger, author of the still best-selling The Catcher in the Rye. Steve's book is not unlike a memoir because he got into Salinger's brain as no one has before. Memoirs should help us understand the person. I learned what Salinger was thinking and why he wrote. And the last recommendation, The Good Girl's Revolt by Lynn Povich, P-O-V-I-C-H. Maury's Sister is my other favorite Povich for so many reasons, not the least of which is what she and her Newsweek fellow female researchers did to move the needle for women. Women at Newsweek were pigeonholed in researcher jobs, not hired as writers, reporters, or editors, and with no chance to advance. They filed a class action lawsuit, thanks to the 1964 Civil Rights Act, and won. Lynn's book is part reporting about that and part memoir. I would not have gotten my first television network job at CBS News had it not been for what she and the others achieved. Lynn was the first woman editor at Newsweek and editor-in-chief of Working Woman. From First for Women, In Focus Paper Crafts, add a little luck of the Irish to any table. Yes, this is about decorating for St. Paddy's Day. Four-leaf clovers are a St. Patrick's Day tradition and symbolize faith, hope, love, and luck. And bringing Irish charm to your tablescape is easy with paper clovers. To do, cut green paper into 4 1-inch wide strips. Then bend each strip into a heart shape. Staple the ends together. Repeat 4 times. Then staple the 4 hearts together, forming a clover. Then make 4 smaller hearts, staple to the interior of the larger hearts. So it's like a double heart kind of thing. Attach a long paper strip as a stem. Display the paper clovers on your tabletop. Very cute looking. Sounds like you can get kids to do it for you if you'd like a craft to assign your kids. From Good Housekeeping, Trusted Travel Essentials, and they offer 3. Portable power. This power bank from Anker, A-N-K-E-R, includes a portable charger, a built-in USB-C cable, and a foldable plug all in one device. Because it's so compact, you can carry it anywhere. Tester notes, Good Housekeeping's tech analyst was impressed with its space-saving size and quick charging capability, while consumer testers liked its simple yet super functional design. It's the Anker 3-in-1 Power Bank, $45. That was A-N-K-E-R, 3-in-1 Power Bank. Next, quick itch fix. Mosquitoes, grid-shaped stickers, which come in a pack of 42, gently lift skin's outer layer to help the itchy residue left by mosquito bites drain out. And they're drug-free and latex-free. Tester notes, loved by Good Housekeeping chemists and testers, they're simple and intuitive to use as soon as you get a bite and effective at reducing itching. It's the Mosquito, M-O-S-K-I-N-T-O, the original itch relief patch, $13 for that packet of 42. Next, a pint-sized protector. Help keep germs at bay with this travel-size Lysol disinfecting spray, which adheres to TSA aerosol size restrictions. It kills 99.9% of bacteria and viruses when used as directed. Tester notes, our cleaning pros found that Lysol products disinfected well, and testers said the can was easy to carry. It's the Lysol disinfected spray to go, $2.50, L-Y-S-O-L. From First for Women, Dreamy Spice Fix. Struggling to snooze? Here's a spicy trick. Stir some nutmeg powder into warm milk or tea before bed. Nutmeg's natural compounds have sedative effects that can help you drift off faster and stay asleep longer, and science backs it. According to the Journal of Ethnopharmacology, nutmeg can increase both light and deep sleep. Just add a teaspoon to your favorite nighttime drink and get ready to catch some more Z's. From Good Housekeeping, in season, oyster mushrooms. These fun-shaped fungi have a delicate flavor and a chewy texture that make them an ideal stand-in for meat. They can be grilled, sautéed, or roasted. Try one of these delicious vegetarian test kitchen recipes, and they do offer three. First, white wine sauté. Heat 2 tablespoons olive oil in a large skillet on medium-high. Add 8 ounces of oyster mushrooms, torn, and cook, stirring occasionally until golden brown and tender, 5 to 7 minutes. Move mushrooms to the side of the pan. Add 1 tablespoon unsalted butter, 2 cloves garlic, chopped, and 1/2 teaspoon kosher salt. Cook, stirring 30 seconds. Add 1/4 cup dry white wine and 1/2 tablespoon fresh lemon juice, and then simmer 1 minute. Toss with 1 tablespoon chopped flat-leaf parsley, and then it's ready to serve over pasta or toast. Shawarma spiced. On a rimmed baking sheet, toss 1 pound of oyster mushrooms, torn, with 2 tablespoons olive oil, 2 teaspoons shawarma seasoning, and 1/4 teaspoon kosher salt. Roast at 425 until golden brown, 18 to 20 minutes. In a small bowl, whisk together 1/3 cup of plain Greek yogurt, 1 teaspoon each lemon zest and lemon juice, 1 small clove garlic, grated, and 1/8 teaspoon each kosher salt and pepper. Pile into 2 pitas, which have been warmed and cut in half, with 2 Persian cucumbers sliced and yogurt sauce. And last, barbecue sandwiches. Toss 1/4 red onion and 1 jalapeno, both thinly sliced, with 2 tablespoons fresh lime juice. Toss 1 pound oyster mushrooms, torn, with 2 tablespoons olive oil and 1/2 teaspoon kosher salt. Cook in a grill pan on medium, covered, turning occasionally until lightly charred, 5 to 6 minutes, basting with 1/4 cup barbecue sauce in the last 2 minutes. Arrange in 4 piles, and then top with 4 slices of Munster cheese. Cover and cook until melted, 20 seconds. Serve in 4 buns grilled with pickled veggies, cilantro, and ranch dressing. From First for Women, creamy tortellini with wilted spinach. Active and total time are both 20 minutes, and this serves 6. And they say for a vegetarian option, you can swap in mushroom ravioli when we get to the ravioli. Here's what we need. 2 tablespoons butter, 1/2 cup chopped red onion, 2 cups heavy cream, 1 1/2 cups shredded Asiago cheese, 1 20-ounce package refrigerated chicken and roasted garlic tortelloni, 8 cups baby spinach, about 4 ounces, grated locatelli romano, and ground pink peppercorns, optional. In a 12-inch non-stick skillet, melt butter over medium heat. Add onion, cook stirring occasionally until softened, about 5 minutes. Add the cream, 1 cup of Asiago, and 1/4 teaspoon pepper. Bring to a boil, reduce heat to medium-low. Cook stirring occasionally until cheese is melted and cream is slightly thickened, about 2 minutes. In a large pot of salted boiling water, cook pasta according to package directions. Reserve 1/2 cup of pasta cooking liquid. Drain the pasta. Return pasta to the pot. Stir in cream mixture, spinach, and reserved liquid. Over medium-low heat, cook, stirring until the spinach begins to wilt, about 1 minute. Top with the remaining Asiago and, if using, Romano and pink peppercorns. It looks really good. From Good Housekeeping, if you'd like a beverage to serve for St. Patty's Day celebration, peppermint shakes, active, and total time, 5 minutes, and this makes two. We need 2.5 cups of vanilla bean ice cream, softened, 1/4 cup milk, 3/4 teaspoon pure peppermint extract, 3 drops of green gel food coloring, whipped cream, and green sanding sugar for serving. In a blender, puree ice cream, milk, peppermint extract, and food coloring to combine. Pour into glasses, top with whipped cream, and sprinkle with sanding sugar if desired. And this serves two, as I said. From First for Women, taco soup, active time 5 minutes, total time is 30, and this makes 9 heaping cups. We need 1 pound of ground turkey or beef, 90% to 94% lean, 1 medium onion diced, 2 15-ounce cans of black beans, rinsed and drained, 1 15-ounce can of corn, drained, 1 pint of cherry tomatoes, quartered, or a 15-ounce can of diced tomatoes, and they say try the fire roasted, 1 jalapeno diced, with seeds removed, and that is optional, 1 to 2 1-ounce packets of taco seasoning mix, depending on how spicy you like it, about 4 tablespoons total, 4 cups reduced sodium broth, and then for optional toppers, cilantro, avocado, jalapeno, crushed taco shells, Greek yogurt, and shredded cheddar cheese. Liberally mist a large deep skillet or pot with oil spray. Warm over medium-high heat. Add meat and onion. Cook for 6 to 9 minutes, chopping with a wooden spoon to crumble the meat as it browns. Add beans, corn, tomatoes, jalapeno, and taco seasoning mix. Stir. Add broth and mix everything. Bring to a boil, reduce heat, and simmer for about 5 minutes until soup is piping hot. Ladle into bowls and garnish with optional toppers. From Good Housekeeping, go for the gold. Bring spring blooms into the Gilded Age with a simple painted vase. To get this dipped look from Michael Worm Jr., founder of InspiredByCharm.com, all you need to do is apply painter's tape to a glass jar in a sharp diagonal line, then spray with 3 light coats of metallic paint and let dry. Remove the tape and then fill the jar with water and flowers. We've run out of time for today's episode of Ladies Magazine. Be sure and listen next time. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Jean Latshaw, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Ladies Magazine is available as a podcast on our website, www.ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please give us a call at our all-purpose number, 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service. I hope you tune in again next week.